three little piggies going to market each, changed their minds, went down to the beach. A lumpen rock then cracked each head, and left the three of them all stone dead. R.A. Prologue. The shoreline was deserted, apart from the four individuals cavorting close to the water's edge. A single gull wheeled overhead, screaming out what might have been a warning, had anyone understood or been prepared to listen. Offshore, the swell rose and fell ominously, a restless movement like the bulk of a heaving whale, as it too whispered a plea for mercy. Set back from the beach, high above it and unsighted, the town went about its usual Saturday morning routine. Barely audible, the muted hum of lazy traffic, a car horn, the trill of a bicycle bell. Lyme Regis, an English coastal town where nothing untoward ever happened to disturb the peaceful existence of its residents. Close to the salt waves came the sound of laughter, a sense of abandonment in the air, a game of tag, a race. They appeared totally absorbed in themselves and their random pastime. How could they know what was about to follow? Which one of them would fall victim? The wind now whipped up with the spume fanning the shore with spray before the plane of seawater receded in a hissing rush. Mid-morning humidity, high white clouds like shredded lace, gradually dissipating, and the promise of a hot day ahead. But the weather was ever unpredictable, as was life, as was death. The boulder was large, but not so large it couldn't be palmed, and when it swiftly descended, the sound it made on impact was like the cracking of a nut, except that this was no nut being smashed, but the cranium of one of the four. An arbitrary choice? Three survived, but only for the barest instant. A moment later, the stone struck again, and then once more. The screams had been muffled by the speed of the assault and the crash of the waves. Now three lay dead, their crushed skulls oozing gray matter and pulsing blood, which quickly spread, staining the shingle red. Overhead, the gull shrieked its message of final time, swooping low as if to survey the carnage before swiftly wheeling away, climbing toward the morning sun. Barely pausing to admire the handiwork, the fourth calmly sauntered away, a look of peace on the individual's face. Job done. Overdue. Long overdue. Chapter 1, Day 1. Late summer. A sultry, shimmering afternoon. The sun's blaze casting a lucid sheen over everything it touched, burnishing surfaces, scorching lawns, searing exposed flesh. A peaceful Saturday, where lovers walk the parks and families downed ice drinks, or perhaps tea and cakes in back gardens, when small children hooted and screamed as they got up to all varieties of mischief. A cyclist bell tinkled, rousing a tortoiseshell cat that chased across the front lawn. A flock of Canada geese soared overhead in a wide-ranging V formation, swerving off in a sudden, unexpected change of direction. A bee hummed nearby the front door. Beds of phlox and goldenrod swayed in the gentle breeze. It was a time of stillness and tranquility. The woman's howl was like that of a wounded animal, something feline, a high, keening scream, which turned into a raw cry of rage as she pummeled the female officer at her door on the chest.
No! No! Not my babies! It can't be! Please, no! It can't be!
She sobbed.
They're someone else's children! They're not mine! They can't be mine!
In her middle 30s, a woman appeared as fragile as if she might break apart in a light gust, as if the news just imparted would shred her like tissue paper. Petite and trim as a ballet dancer with wavy shoulder-length mid-brown hair, full rouge lips and retroussé nose, she had the sort of gamine good looks that seemed to cry out for the protection of someone bigger than she, someone physically stronger.
"Shall we sit down, Mrs. Goldcrest?"